This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how's it going today, Commissioner?
Well, it is pretty nice out there. It's a little cloudy, a little bit of breeze, and it's only 79 degrees, and it's gorgeous.
Nice.
Yes, 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 yes. Everybody should be on vacation today.
Oh, I'm gone.
Okay, see ya. Tell me how to run the buttons here.
Kyle will come in.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, thank you for listening out there. This is going to be kind of a different show today.
Oh.
There's not going to be a lot of technical data shared or things. I mean, I do that all the time. Day after day, week after week, and, you know, talk about new stuff and this and this. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a personal story
about my
gardening life. And you might find some of it interesting, some of it funny, and some of it ridiculous, you know. I don't know.
Or all three.
Or all three. But in the course of this storytelling, if you do have a real question, don't hesitate to call and ask it. I can break off, no problem. And the number is 673-4464.
All right.
673-4464.
Bingo.
Bingo. So, anyway, like I said, this is kind of a personal story. And you know, as I was preparing a few days ago for the show, and I'm looking, well, I've talked about that, and I'm talking about this in the spring, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, why don't I share some personal experiences about my own gardening life, if you will. And, you know, some of you might get something out of it, and some of you might just, you know, turn the radio off or change the channel. But that's okay. This is a gamble on my part, so I'm going to take a shot at it and see what you all think, and you can comment if you like. So, like I said, today I'm writing about my start as a licensed and bonded landscape contractor, and how I got started as a professional and as a rookie. way back when, I was a rookie, actually. But early on, you know, about the age of 7 or so, I was the kid in charge of weed elimination in our yard.
Oh, okay.
In other words, Mike, get out there and pick those weeds. Okay, Mom. If I have to, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My mom had me learn from the ground on up, if you will. She pointed out the weeds and the flowers and said, these are flowers, those are weeds, you know. And it took me about an hour to get it down because I kept picking flowers, you know. I thought, I mean, these are pretty weeds. What the heck, man? But right away, I hated weeds. You know, after an hour or so of this kind of stuff, I hated these stinking weeds.
Yeah.
And I thought, why are they growing here? But my mom did not let me plant anything. And that, of course, hurt my feelings after I cleaned the bed. I thought, well, I wanted to plant, you know, something. But no, just keep it clean, Sonny. And so gardening became quickly my least favorite activity. You know, every time we're going out there and work in the yard, oh, good, I would disappear. I would hide in my closet, you know, one of those things. However, in time, and I might have shared this story before, one day I was eating an apple, enjoying it, and I discovered in the middle of the apple there were some seeds. And I went, whoa, those are apple seeds. And I was still like around 7, second grader, maybe, yeah, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I wanted to grow an apple tree, so I got an old soup can out of the trash, you know, Campbell's soup can, and filled it up with some soil from the backyard. I don't know what kind of soil it was, but it was in the backyard.
The good kind.
Yeah, it's where I weeded, so it was clean, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I then planted my little apple seeds and put the soup can on my bedroom windowsill. I'm sure I watered it quite liberally, and of course it didn't have any drain holes in it.
Oh, geez.
But, you know, I didn't know about drainage. I was 7.
Yeah.
What the heck, you know? And within about 2 weeks, what I thought, apple trees were about 6 inches tall. I thought, whoa, this is cool, you know? And, I was already a master gardener, and I didn't even know it, you know? And my mom came in one day and said, what's that can of dirt on there? And with the weeds growing in it. I says, those are just not weeds. They they're apple trees. I've grown them. She said, they're just weeds. Throw the can of dirt away. And she tried to squelch my future true calling, you know. And I'm thinking, geez whiz, how am I ever supposed to get around in this world? So my first landscaping job, you know, I was interested in this stuff. I don't know why. You know, in my blood or something. I used to go out with my Lithuanian grandmother and collect mushrooms in parks. And so maybe that's what
they
fired
planted me. The seed.
Yeah, planted the seed, you know. So my first landscaping job was in a neighbor's backyard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my neighbor had tilled all his backyard up. It wasn't a very big backyard. And he leveled it real nice. And what I didn't know, he was going to put a new lawn in there.
Oh.
And so it was smooth and beautiful and ready to go. But they went away for the weekend, and and nobody was home, of course. And so I had an idea, and I got one of my friends, and I says, "Hey, why don't we plant something in his area there, in his lawn?" And so it was an alleyway between the houses, and there were a lot of old sagebrush weeds kind of hung up along the fences and stuff.
Yeah.
And so me and my recruited landscape buddy got down there. Well, actually, he's my first employee. we collected all these things, and we stuck them in the ground.
Oh, no.
In his newly prepared lawn area. We stuck them in the ground in straight rows, like an orchard, and I would say there was probably 10 rows of these dead sagebrush things, and
must have been quite the sight.
It was, and it was about 10 in each row. So there's probably roughly 100 plants.
Well, that took some doing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it did, but we were having fun. See, but all you had to do was stick them right into the you didn't have to dig no holes.
Oh, it was already.
Yeah, it was already nice and loose soil, so we just jammed them in. And, you know, we were pretty proud of it, you know, when you look back at it, there was our plantation. And it had a big fence, big wooden fence in the backyard and a gate, so nobody could look in and driving by. But there was an alley between our house and their house, and not too many people drove down there. So we closed the gate and walked away. Well, Sunday afternoon rolled around, and our neighbors returned home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess they were amazed at the transformation. You know, I mean, we worked hard for them, but they were kind of amazed. And so our neighbor called my mom. Come, take a look at my yard. Something happened while we were gone. So my mom went over, took a look at it, and she was so amazed that she quickly called my name in that mom voice.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Michael. It was, Mike, get your butt over here. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Her mom voice. I could tell she was not pleased, you know. So I went next door, and Mom and Dora, our neighbor, were standing in the plantations.
Observing.
Yeah, observing. And my mom said, did you do this? In a voice that spelled trouble for the future landscaper. You know, I denied it quickly with innocent eyes, but she knew I was lying through my teeth. It didn't work under her piercing gaze or glare or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, she was not really overwhelmed with happiness at
that point.
Didn't
see the humor in it.
No, she didn't. So I asked for mercy, and I laid down on the ground, and I confessed. So Dora, our neighbor, she started laughing. You know, she thought it was funny. I mean, it was we ruined her preparation job, but it was cool. It was 10 rows of sagebrush in perfect order. And so she was laughing. She thought it was funny. And then I thought she was going to hire me, you know, to do her landscaping, but that didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
And my mom said, clean this up now and then come home for your punishment.
Uh-oh.
That's when I ran away from home. No, I didn't.
Never came back.
I was too scared to run away from home at that point.
Yes.
But
yes.
gosh, I'll tell you. She, let's see.
What was your punishment, or have you got to that part yet?
Pardon me?
What was your punishment?
I think she locked me in the basement for about 3 weeks, but I'm not sure.
With no food or water.
No, I had a very stern talking to, and, you know, it was like, okay, you know.
Stay out of the neighbor's yard.
Stay out of the neighbor's yard. Don't go into anybody's yard ever again, you little thing. And
yeah.
And I think she used some choice words, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what she said. But
well, if any come to mind, go ahead.
No, this is a family show, you know. we don't want to share that kind of thing, and I don't want to disgrace my mom. Of course, she's not with me anymore, but you know. We had a good laugh about it many, 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 many years later.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those, yeah.
Yeah, you know, son of a gun, I must have lost one of my pages of notes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
You want to take a break to find
No, we can take a break, but I'll make something up, don't worry.
All right, we'll be right back. Storytelling time once again.
Yeah, on your landscaping, you can do the same.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show here.
And you've heard already the beginnings of my landscape career. You know, I had it in my blood to do this.
Right.
I just didn't have any proper guidance,
well,
I guess.
Well, you got to have a trial and error.
Yeah, you got to have trial and error and see what works, what doesn't. And, you know, to this day, I still have the trial and error stuff. Throw some of this and see if it works.
A little sagebrush.
Yeah, a little sagebrush. That'll blow their minds. I ought to do that.
You know,
somebody's lawn ready and put a whole bunch of dead sticks in there in rows. Make it look like an orchard. Oh, golly. I don't know if they would... I wouldn't charge them any money for it. It would be a freebie, for laughs.
Yeah. Oh, that would be funny.
But like I said, in the other segment, my buddy did not help me. He didn't get in trouble.
Oh.
He escaped.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he ran to, but he disappeared. I didn't see him for another 2 weeks, I don't think. And, you know, so I was the villain. And the villain got... Well, she didn't beat me, but she sure was angry with me. Oh, you know, it was a joke. Come on, get with it.
Yeah.
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 So I learned, you know, several valuable lessons. Number one, never lie to your mom when it's so obvious that you did it. and also always ask permission before you landscape your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
You know, say... Before they went, say, do you mind if I plant dead sagebrush in your new lawn area? And of course, they would have said, yeah, go right ahead,
sure,
Mike.
Sure, yeah.
We like dead sagebrush in there. So, anyway, then I changed my occupation for earning money, and I started having magic shows. And, you know, the magic shows, they had these little, kits that you could buy and have, you know, four or five little tricks. And and like I said, I was still in that 7-year-old kind of range, so I didn't know many. I could play fish and a few of those real simple card games, but they had card tricks that you had to learn, and I wasn't quite up to it, so I kind of made things up as I was. And like I say, I changed my occupation and started having these magic shows in my backyard. I thought, well, shoot, I'll just make a stage. My dad had some boards and I had some bricks, and I put the bricks and I put this board, and there was an old table, and I had all my magic stuff. And then there was a tall cardboard box, probably 4 feet tall, and I turned it so the audience couldn't see inside of it. They could only see the backside of it. And the audience were the kids in the neighborhood. And I charged a penny to watch the show. So everybody paid up. I think there was, you know, 7-8 cents. That was my audience. And I had little, you know, little chairs for them to sit on. And and then after the show was finished, a mom came to my house and demanded her son's penny back. Thought I had ripped him off, I guess. I don't know. For a penny, you go to a show, for crying out loud. I thought it was a good deal. But my start in business was a little rocky, but I soon got better with time. And to this day, I almost regret that. But this box that I had there, the 3-foot-tall box, there was one young girl, you know, you're 7-year-old, you're short and all that. And I held a blanket up in front of the girl, in front of the box, and I said, abracadabra, blah, 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 disappear. And her job was to run inside the box and hide, and then I whipped the blanket away, and she was gone. And they all gasped. Well, you know, I don't know if they gasped or not. It was a long time ago. And then I said, well, now I'll make her reappear. And I put the blanket back over the box. And she came out of the box and got behind the blanket. And I lifted the blanket, and there she was. So that was a pretty good trick. I was 7, for crying out loud. And I, you know, Houdini I was not. But I was trying. And that's that was better than not trying. So getting closer to my current life, you know, when I got out of the Marine Corps in 1969, I went to UCC and earned a couple of forestry degrees in a couple of years, one in forest management and one in forest recreation, and because I wanted to work for the Forest Service and, you know, be in that kind of thing, but there was no jobs available at the time in the Forest Service. But BLM hired me to cruise timber. And so I was learning timber cruising with a couple of guys who have been doing it for a lot of years. And not only did I have the education, the formal education and the dendrology, which is tree identification, but I got to learn how it actually works and walking up and down those canyons, because I was what they called the string baller. I had to stretch the string in a straight line over the canyon and then come back 50 feet separation so that the cruisers could walk between the two lines and actually get an accurate scale of all the trees.
Wow, that yeah. must have been rough.
It was, but you know, what the heck, I was 23, who cared? You know, I was tough, man. Yeah. I was ex-Marine, man, don't mess with me. But in the meantime, I'm
Video games hadn't been invented yet.
No, they hadn't. But in the meantime, I'm learning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning right. about timber, and I'm learning about timber issues from basically the ground up. And,
right.
And you know, I had tree identification. I could identify all the trees and everything. But what I was taught was the value of the trees and what to look for that would deduct from that value and what to look for that would add to that value, because every tree, there's a different number or a different code or a different system by which you log it in your notebook so that when you get back to the office and you actually compute the board foot per acre and the board feet for that entire sale, you're, you know, fairly accurate. So when they put it up for sale and the bidders, the loggers come in to bid the sale, you have some real numbers there.
Yeah.
So that was good for me, because to this day, I know how much timber I got on my land, you know.
There you go.
I learned it, you know. But cruising timber was fun. It was educational. And I saw a lot of stuff out there that, small shrubs and trees that weren't covered in our classes, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of furthered my interest in education.
Right.
So I was doing this, and then I got a call from Oregon State University, and one of my professors, Lee Hunt, said, hey, Mike, I got a call from the OSU Extension office up there at the Oregon State University. They're looking for someone who's interested in forestry research. And then I gave him your name. I'd like to interview you. So I said, well, shoot, man, that's a cushy job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, until you find out what's going to go on. Right. So at any rate, the Andrews Experimental Forest is in east of Eugene, Blue River. It's one of the main roads over to Bend. And it's about 45 miles east of Blue River. I met with the guy on site. He gave me a couple-hour tour, showed me all the gauging stations and experiments that were going on. And it's a 17,000-acre experimental forest.
Jeez.
And it's an international experimental forest, so there are scientists from all over the world that come there and do different types of experiments and that kind of thing, from China, from Japan, from Lithuania. I mean, just all over the world. And it's and they're cool guys. I mean, most of them can speak English very well. And you go out there and assist them in their various experiments and stuff, as long as your duties and your jobs are taken care of. And anyway, this three-hour interview I had on the Andrews, at the end of it, my friend, who is now my friend, the guy said, hey, they want you to go to Corvallis. They want to interview you there. So I said, okay. So I drove up to Corvallis and when it's the Oregon State University Range and Experiment Station. It's a research facility.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Oh yeah, it is. You can't say it fast 10 times
no.
at all. And it's right on the campus there. And so I walked in and Dr. Dick Fredrickson and Al Levno, yeah, been a long time. They interviewed me and we talked about all sorts of things, and they wanted to know, you know, my education, what did I do, you know, experience, blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the interview, which lasted maybe an hour or so, and it was mind-boggling, all the information, because I got to ask them questions, and it was mind-boggling, all the duties that I would have to accomplish, and I'm thinking, I can't do that. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, your head's going, whoop,
yeah,
whoop.
Yeah. Anyway, at the end of the interview, they said, well, congratulations, you're hired.
And I went,
whoa. thank you, I think. So I'm driving back to Roseburg and thinking, I can't do that. That's way over my head. I can't do that. By the time I got home, I was totally defeated. And I told my wife, she says, what are you, crazy? Take it. I said, no, take it. So I called him up and said, okay, I'll take the job. And moved up to Blue River within, I think it was a couple, 3 weeks. And rented out our little place in Roseburg with all the roses and found a place on the McKenzie River that ran right by the back porch. And we rented it and went to work in watershed research management. And I had 18 watersheds I had to take care of. Calculate the flow, the sediment, the vegetation, do a write-up on each one. And actually, it was very interesting work. And most of the time, I worked by myself. They gave me a pickup truck, you know, Oregon State University on the side and all that. Not brand new, but, you know, fairly nice. And so that was my how I commuted. But in Blue River, there's a whole different vegetation than there is here in Douglas County.
Oh.
Because Blue River gets probably twice the rain, twice the precipitation in a year, and a whole lot more snow. So there's a larger variety of plant material in the forest, and I had to learn about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then when the different scientists would come from different parts of the world, I was sometimes assigned to help them do whatever they needed or take them to the particular site. Remember, this is a 17,000-acre experimental forest, and so we had quite a road system in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did experiments with guys at the top of Carpenter Mountain, which was the very highest point at 7,500 feet or something like that. And they were doing experiments on mountain hemlock and western hemlock, opposed to, you know, growing at this elevation and seeing how it fared against Douglas fir, you know, the all kinds of
the
different things.
Yeah.
Plus the bugs, the critters, the animals. I mean, there was all these people doing all this work. It was amazing. And they published, you know, libraries full of books on this thing.
Wow.
So at any rate, after about a year and a half, I mean, I had her down. I mean, I knew it. I was learning stuff and all that, taking samples. And doing snow surveys and things like that. We were in an establishment one day after work, and one of the most notorious drug dealers in Blue River, there were a lot of them up in those days. This is the 70s, you know, early
70s. Yes. Yep.
And a big black guy, and everybody knew him. His name was Tellus. And we were in the Blue River Tavern having a beer after work.
I hope
work.
He's no longer with us.
Well, I haven't seen him for 30 years, so 40 years, don't worry. But Tellus walks in the Blue River Tavern, and there's in this the hippies with the hair that are 3 feet long, yeah. And the loggers with the crew cuts are in there playing pool with each other. You know, it's a pretty homogeneous thing.
Okay.
Everybody lived well together. And Tellus came in and said, hey, Tellus, how you doing? A few harassment things. And he says, I got me a job.
Oh.
And he said, the whole bar went quiet. Tellus got a job?
Oh.
I mean, this guy's a notorious drug dealer, you know? Got me a job. And somebody said, what is it? He says, I'm landscaping the Blue River Reservoir up there at the dam. And lights went on in my brain.
Uh-oh.
Because we lived right below the dam, about half a mile.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I quickly got out of there, and he was telling about how he was doing this and doing that and landscaping a dam. So I drove up to the dam, and I looked at it, and they had built these stone walls all the way across the top of the dam, and it was a stone wall, and it was a planter, actually, and they had planted pine trees and Oregon grape and salal, and I knew everything they planted, and I looked at it, and I says, I could do this, because he also said that it was a $250,000 project.
Jeez.
Yeah, and this is like 1972. Yeah, somewhere. And $250,000 in 1972 is like $1 million today, say.
Yeah, still is a lot of money.
Right. So my brain got kicking in, and I said, well, let's see. How do you get to be a landscaper? So I called one of the county agents there in Eugene, and they said, well, you got to have a test. You got to do this, this, and this, and this. So I took all the paperwork and studied their exam book for a couple of weeks, and then I went down to Eugene, and I thought, well, I'll just take the test, see what's on it, and then come back and pass it the second time.
Yeah.
The only problem was I passed it with flying colors the first time.
First time.
Because I knew just about everything, all the questions, there was stuff on square footage, sprinkler systems. I guessed at the sprinkler system part because I wasn't experienced in that. But as far as the trees, the shrubs, those kinds of things, I knew that. I knew the scientific name. I knew the Latin name, and the common name. And you had to match things up and do this and calculate, a lot of math in it and all that kind of stuff. So I passed, and I said, Marianne, we're moving back to our house in Roseburg. I'm going to start a business. Start a business. And by this time, it's getting close to 1973, mid-72.
Yeah.
And got my license, my bond, went through all that stuff. Jeez Louise. Just so you can plant grass, I planted sagebrush for free. I didn't need a license. But came back to Roseburg and started my landscaping business. And I was the employee. And I had a 56 Chevy pickup. I had a rake, a shovel, a rototiller, and a mower, and some couple of hand tools. That was it. Mm. And basically, I just kind of knocked on doors and talked to people and, just started very, very slowly. It was kind of neat. So the thing was, though, in time, things get kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you begin to hire people.
Right.
And that's, some people are very good at that kind of thing, and then some people are not, but you don't know until you take them out
there.
You
got to give them a shot.
give them a shot, right. And, my very first job, I was alone at this time. I had no employees. My very first job, there was a real estate guy in town called Bert Eaton. And Bert said, hey, you got a landscape license. I'm like, yeah. He says, I got an eightplex in Winston, and it needs landscaping.
Hmm.
I said, well, okay. He gave me the address, and he says, low maintenance, tough stuff, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, And if you need any bark mulch, don't, you know, my wife works at Sun Studs. We can get all the bark mulch we need. I said, wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So I go and I look at this, and there's brand new. In fact, I don't think anybody was living in them yet. And there was, you know, like two, like a duplex and a space, a duplex and a space and so on. But there was eight of them. And it was kind of long, maybe a couple hundred feet long, and narrow backyard, about 8 to maybe 10 feet wide, and nothing, no plants back there, just a lot of bark. And in the front had, you know, real tough stuff, juniper, and you know, just really tough stuff that, and a little kind of a rail fence. And I thought, So I calculated it. Now, this is my first bid. I mean, very first. I got to figure all this out and, you know, make money on it at the same time. And I bid it for $800.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I even know that's way under.
Yeah, I know. But my first one, and I wanted it. You
sure.
Know? I wanted it. My first opportunity.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I told him, and he jumped out of his chair and says, when can you start? And there was a little hill. At the end of the property, a little hill that went up to, I think it was Grape Street. And I says, well, I can start next week. And he says, how many loads of bark you want? And I says, well, three truckloads would do well. He says, okay. And at Douglas County Lumber, their trucks were regular bark trucks with maybe 20 yards of material in them, 18, 20, somewhere in there, and the old-fashioned trucks, and they dump
it.
So I figured, you know, three trucks ought to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And so he said, okay, when do you want them? I said, well, how about Monday morning, and I'll show them. And they came into Winston, and I can hear the truck coming, and I'm waiting anxiously because I'm going to have them dump it at the top of the little hill there so I could work it downhill.
Yeah.
And now I don't have a tractor. I got a wheelbarrow, and I got a pitchfork. And a rake.
Right. Oh, no.
And the semi shows up. Mm. Not a bark truck, a semi truck.
A stinking semi.
A stinking semi. And I'm looking, and right away I knew I made a mistake.
A giant mistake.
So this semi says, where do you want? I said, right here. And he started emptying it out, and this mountain of bark appeared in about 10 minutes.
And that's only one.
And that's one. And I says, how many yards of bark is that? He says, 77. I says, oh, okay. And as he's pulling out, the second truck, the second semi is pulling up and sees what to do, and he's dumping his. And when he's done, the third one rolls up, and right about then I'm debating on whether to run away from home or just say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, or what. And I said, well, no, I said I would do it. And how in the world? So, and the other thing that I missed, was the ground. The ground was as hard as concrete because they had had machines in there and all that, and you know, while they were building the place, and it was hard as concrete. And I didn't test the ground to see what kind of soil it was or how, you know, compacted it actually was.
Yeah,
I just assumed I just did dig holes and stick junipers in them, right? Well, before I get to that part, there was a guy across the street building a fence for somebody and had this little miniature Caterpillar tractor with an auger on the back. And he was augering the fence posts in on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to dig them out with a shovel, and I got down about an inch and a half, and I couldn't dig no more because I didn't have a pick. So I filled them up with water. And it didn't drain. And I thought, well, they'll drain by tomorrow morning. And I came back in the morning. They had drained, but I only got down another inch or so. So he's watching me as he's building this fence. And he's looking at that giant mountain of bark I've got up there.
Oh, no.
And he walks across the street. And he introduces himself. And he says, hi, my name is Otto Moss. He says, I see you got some bark up there. I says, yep. He says, how are you going to spread it? And I pointed to my wheelbarrow and my pitchfork. He kind of laughed. He said, that's going to take a while. I said, yep, I know. I've made numerous miscalculations already on this job. And he says, well, my little cattle fit in between them buildings. I'll do it for you. I said, how much would you charge me? He says, $100. So my $800 job went to
$700.
Yeah. So, but he got up there and he pushed that entire mountain all the way down to the ends of the property, in between each of the duplexes, and covered the whole thing. I think he did it in 5 hours.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He saved my life. And yeah. Otto Moss was my favorite contractor after that.
Did you hire him?
No, I couldn't. He was an independent business guy.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, he had his own Otto Moss fence construction or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
I think I remember.
He was out there, yeah. Out on 99, right past Keller Lumber, mm-hmm. I think, on the, and there was a curve, and it was right there on that curve. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice guy. Helped me out a great deal.
We got to take a break.
Okay, and I'll tell you about more of my miscalculations when we get back.
All right. All righty. We'll be right back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with more landscaping stories.
Yeah, and you probably don't want to call me. I don't blame you.
No.
But if you want to take a chance, 673-4464. And I'm talking about, you know, how I learned and when I learned and all these years of having to do with plants. I guess it was in my blood, and this is what I was meant to do. And, you know, I'm leading up to the good stuff because, you know, I've already made more mistakes than most people can even realize and, you know, and corrected them. And when you correct your own mistakes and you learn from them very quickly not to repeat
yep.
those same stupid mistakes and take nothing for granted. Always test the soil. Always make sure the size of the truck and how much mulch you're going to get. And always have a tractor or something on site that you can depend on. You just don't show up with a wheelbarrow and a pitchfork and a shovel and call it good. I mean, that's what I did. The guy didn't have any money. I was, you know, it was one of those hand-to-mouth kind of
situations.
Deals. Yeah, yeah. You know, so that happens. And, you know, little did I know that what the future held, but I didn't give up. I kept learning and doing and learning some more and doing some more. And each time you learn something, you know, hey, you know what not to do, so don't repeat it, dummy. Mm-hmm. And so much stuff to be aware of. I was good on plants. I knew all the plant, not all the plants. I knew a lot of the plants, and I knew what they could do. I knew where they could grow. What I lacked was, you know, the watering techniques or the fertilization techniques when you put something in somebody's yard, and the soil prep was I after a while, you know, the clay in Douglas County will wear you out digging it, but it's either compacted or too gooey and wet to dig. But I learned that to move that clay aside and actually have some good manufactured potting mix that you can mix in with some topsoil, with some bark, and really have an A number one mix that I always talk about on this show. And I talk about it with my clients when I'm face to face with them, or if I'm in the nursery and some, I always say, you know how to plant that? Well, yeah, you just dig a hole and say, no. Trust me, it won't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, give them the 1, 2, 3, what for about this is how you plant it, this is how you mix the soil, this is what you do, you don't overwater, you don't over-fertilize, and bingo, you're going to have a nice tree or a nice shrub. And these are all the things that I learned, some the hard way, some that I was actually smart enough to figure it out before I did it the hard way. And so consequently, when you begin to have employees, et cetera, you can get a hold of them right off the bat from the very beginning and show them and teach them all the techniques so that when you're finished with the job, it looks great, it's been planted correctly, everything is good, and you know that 50% of the plant material is not going to die in a week. And you give the owner specific instructions, written instructions, if that's what they desire. But as I said on the show 1,000 times, overwater, over over-fertilizer going to kill them quicker than anything else, so leave them alone. And for their particular site or for their particular soil, they might be on a hill, they might be down in a valley. This is how much you want to water, and this is how much you want to fertilize, and only do this and only do that. And you drill it into them till they're sick and tired of hearing you say it, but you know what? They're not going to forget
it. That's right.
and that's, and you know, months later you see them say, and they say, oh, everything is doing so great. We took all your instructions and you know, put them into work, and and everything's growing. Everything's doing very, very well.
Nice.
So that's the kind of thing that you learn when, you know, nobody is there to teach you the fine techniques of landscape contracting, even though you know all the basics about plants, soil, fertilizers,
the kinds and so on.
Yeah. Even though you know all that stuff, how do you apply it now? How do you put it together? Yep. How do you design it? You know, and there's and something I always harp on the show is when people are buying things for their house, and if I'm there and I ask them questions, well, where's this going? Well, it's going to go up against the foundation. I said, well, how big of a bed do you have? Well, it's about 2 feet. Well, you got to have for this plant, you got to have at least 4 feet of bed, and plant them in the middle so that they don't, you know, run into your foundation or run into your siding, and it's just a nightmare to, you know, cut them way back after 5 years, et cetera. And so those are all the good things that you can tell folks that they have success. So that's what I want to do. When they come to our nursery and buy plants, I want them to be successful in their planting. I want them to be successful in the growing of the plant. I want them to be beautiful all the time. So I've made the mistakes. They don't have to. They don't have to. And I'm not fooling with them. I'm not lying
right,
to them.
Right.
I don't want to see you back here in 3 weeks saying, that plant you sold me was no good. It died.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. No, it ain't my fault. You took it home. You did it. I didn't.
Is it a good time for a break?
Yeah, sure, we'll have a break.
One more, and we'll come right back. Okay. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back already with the last segment. Can you believe that?
Well, yeah, it's gone quick. I hope I haven't bored you too much. I hope you picked up some gems of gems of knowledge from all my mistakes that I made over the early years. But, you know, It's something after all these years. This is, I started in 73, and next year's 2023, that'll be a 50-year anniversary for me.
Wow.
In business. And little did I realize what the future was going to hold, of course.
Not that this has anything to do with it, but you and I started in about the same time.
Really?
Me and radio and you, and it's been 50 years. Yeah.
Hey, well, we got 100 years between us.
There
man.
We go. We ought to know what we're doing.
Well, I hope we'll by now. Nobody's cut us off or fired us yet.
No, not yet.
Oh, jeez. But, you know, much learning has taken place, many mistakes, lots of hard work, but from that, good results. And, you know, like I said, my first eight-plex job was a disaster, but I learned a lot from that, and I learned what not to do and how stupid I was. And that's a hard lesson to swallow. Gosh, what a dummy.
Well, you look back on it, but
yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
You weren't dumb. You just wanted to do it.
I just wanted to do it, and I did it.
Yeah.
But now I write gardening articles. I have a radio show, for crying out loud.
There you go.
And we've expanded from just the landscaping into a nursery that's as beautiful and wonderful. We have a florist shop, the landscaping maintenance division, the landscape contracting division. We've had many challenges and successes and many hours of hard work with a great crew, and all my people are very great. My wife, my daughter, my florist, my landscape crew, my maintenance crew, my brother Steve, and they've all been, you know, a real important part of the machine that rolls every day. We start at 6:30, and you know, we line it out, and we hit the road, and we get going. And over the years, I've estimated we've completed over 2,000 landscape projects here in Douglas County.
Jeez.
And they've ranged from, you know, small one-day, small jobs for small homes and small yards and stuff. And then we've had a few very large jobs. My first commercial job was the new Mercy Hospital when it was built. And I made a mistake on that. I bid it way too cheap, but I didn't go broke on it. And
good.
And I did much better when I did the RV park at Seven Feathers, which took us almost 2 years to landscape. And we had hundreds of thousands of yards of mulch and topsoil and everything else.
Guess. That's a big place.
Oh, it was. It was. But it's gorgeous. You ought to go down there sometime. Just drive through it. And you know, that's what we've been doing, and we've been voted number one favorite landscaper in Douglas County for 21 years.
Yes, you have. You betcha. And, congratulations.
Well, thanks, but that's because we made all the stupid mistakes the first 10 years.
Now it's paying off.
And we got over the hump, man. But without, like, my family, you know, my wife, brother Steve, and daughter Jill, this thing doesn't work. Without my great crew guys, it doesn't work. And my great florists and all them, none of that is possible without them. They all pitch in. And our motto is quality is our most important product, and we all live by that. So I'm a blessed man, and every day is a learning process. Just when I think I got it all down, a situation comes up and more learning takes place. And you know, but we have a beautiful earth. I love this business, and we make things pretty, and we make things nice all the way around. So thanks for listening. I hope you weren't bored. Next time we'll have, you know, real stuff, real radio stuff.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. My pleasure.